Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get an update on Gulf War illness and burn pit syndrome from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, meet with a Yellow Ribbon company, and visit with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon Network is an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon Network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program is vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. You help ensure our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you're ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. That's beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. As I said at the opening of the show, we're going to get a Gulf War research update where they're looking into the Gulf War illness and burn pit syndrome. And joining us now is Dr. Ron Bach and Dr. Tammy Butterick. Doctors, welcome to the studio and Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Ron, you were on the show a few years ago, and you were explaining to me the Gulf War illness and a research project that you've been doing to try to figure out where did it come from and how can we treat it sometime in the future. Can you give us a little background? I understand
you bet.
You've been out of Minneapolis for quite a while.
28 years, and I've been studying deployment-related illness for about the last 15 years. And so my first foray into that was to study Gulf War illness and to try to figure out what was causing the problems that we now know as Gulf War illness, which is a collection of symptoms that include chronic fatigue, pain, musculoskeletal issues, cognitive problems, respiratory illnesses and rashes. And it's been a great mystery, but it's an illness that afflicts roughly half of the veterans of the first Gulf War. And so I started out asking a very simple question, which is that, is there anything in the blood that tells us, that distinguishes the healthy Gulf War veterans from those who are sick? And that was our first study. It was, yes.
And Ron, in the last couple of years, you've got a partner on this, and it's who you brought with you today, Dr. Tammy Butterick. She joined you a couple of years ago to help with this research and your trials. And Tammy, how long have you been at the VA?
Oh, gosh. I started off as a graduate student, so it's been roughly about 10 years or so now.
And I understand you and Ron just kind of met by happenstance and found out you're working on similar things.
Yes, exactly. So Ron had approached me about some of his findings and some ideas that he had about us working together and how to use the animal models and what I work on in the laboratory to help him towards working towards his research and his findings in his Gulf War illness patients.
And Ron, I want to back up just a little bit. I think the last time you were here, we were talking about the fact that a lot of our veterans that served in that Gulf War were coming back and they had some complaints, some symptoms, some issues. So your first question was, is there really something here?
Can we measure something in the blood that's different? That was the simple question. It's a yes or no. And the answer turned out to be yes. There were 11 biomarkers in the blood of the sick veterans that were different than those of the healthy Gulf War veterans. And so the next question is, do these biomarkers tell us anything? And fortunately, the answer to that question was yes, it tells us a lot, because they all were related to inflammation. And not knowing much about that particular subject, I started doing an investigation into it, and I had my eureka moment when I suddenly realized that inflammation could be responsible for all the symptoms that we call Gulf War illness. So that confirmed to me that we were on the right track.
Now, that those veterans that served there, this has been over 20, almost 25 years ago. And is there a correlation between the chronic inflammation and damage over a long period of time that makes this more difficult for the
veterans? There are two important things to remember. One is that chronic inflammation gets worse with age. So we see more and more Gulf War veterans manifesting the illness as time goes by. And it's also the gateway to all the chronic diseases of aging. That includes cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's. So left untreated, it will make people much sicker later in life.
Sooner
and more severely afflicted, because you will eventually go from a treatable illness to something that is no longer treatable.
And Tammy, I know that this time we were chatting before we went on the air, we're talking about burn pit syndrome.
Yes.
And it would seem on the face of it that when you've got oil fields burning and you've got all this stuff that you're breathing, and then you've got these burn pits that our other veterans have been there, and if they're too close to it, they're breathing that. This sounds like a similar cause to me.
Yes, that's what we think. And so my role in working with Ron has been to understand what tools we have in the lab to address your question. And so we've developed models that we think reflect some of that environmental exposure. And so we have a collaborator who has worked with firefighters and who have been, who are also a population of people who are exposed to similar types of risk and environmental exposures. And so we are refining how we use our animal models and our biochemical approaches to reflect what is seen in vet populations.
We're speaking with Drs. Ron Bach and Tammy Butterick from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Ron, it sounds like that whatever theater of war or first responders are involved in, or there's some similarities of something you breathe, something that happens that could cause similar types of inflammation. Is that?
I believe the stressors may vary from conflict to conflict. But the responses that your body has to these kinds of toxins is the same. And remarkably, the symptoms that the OIF veterans are manifesting now as a result of burn pit exposures map exactly to the symptoms that we see in Gulf War illness. So the next question that we're going to ask with respect to that population of veterans is the biomarker fingerprint that we see in the OIF veterans the same as we see in the Gulf War veterans? If that is true, then they have the same underlying pathology.
So when you were here in 2016, you were starting a clinical trial. And part of that trial, you needed some volunteers, some veterans that were there and exposed to this type of toxins, whatever it was they breathed. And that was going to be a blind trial where you were going to test some placebos and some medications and see what worked. Have you finished that yet?
We're very close. This is a randomized controlled trial of sick Gulf War veterans, and we're treating them with an anti-inflammatory drug or a placebo. And we're about 10 people away from finishing our accrual for this study. When we do that, we'll be able to break the blind and do the analysis and come up with the answers. So that last 10 subjects is our goal.
So this is critically important. Once you finish this clinical trial, you can break that open and find out, is it working, is it not working, and where do we go from here? So you need some veterans that were exposed to call and get down there. Actually go to clinicaltrials.gov and look up Gulf War illness and volunteer to finish this study as soon as possible.
The finish line is in view, but we can't do anything with the data. I'm blinded as to what people are getting, whether they're getting the active drug or the placebo, until we meet that goal. That's the rule. And once we meet that goal, we open up the blind and we do the study analysis and we publish the results. So that's a critical step in this process.
So for our listeners out there, if you were involved in the Gulf War and have any kind of systems at all, symptoms at all, call Clinical Trials, go to clinicaltrials.gov, get in here. It doesn't hurt. Ron's not going to hurt you. Get in there, help him finish this trial so we can find out he's really close to something, and we need those last volunteers. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the Gulf War research out at the Minneapolis VA Hospital. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about the research that's being done at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Gulf War illness and burn pit syndrome. And our guests have been Drs. Ron Bach and Tammy Butterick that are doing research out there and have done it for years. And Ron, I just wanted to come to you. I've learned when you were here before and this time that there's a specific methodology to studying a problem and then putting together this clinical trial in order to track it. And I know you're really excited about cracking that open and seeing what you've learned, but you have to be very methodical and very studious in the way you do this.
Yes, yes. We're doing a translational research, which means that we start out at a very basic level trying to understand molecular mechanisms, but then it gets translated into observational studies and clinical trials to ask very specific questions about the underlying nature of the disease. Does the biomarker fingerprint that you see match with the symptoms? Does that lead to identifying a therapeutic target? And that's where we are now with the Gulf War study, is we've identified a therapeutic target. We have diagnostics that are objective that we can measure in the blood, and we want to see if our intervention is going to make these veterans better. And that's the key in all that I've done in this area. I truly believe that this is a treatable illness.
So the first thing you did was determine there were some blood biomarkers that established a difference between those that were exposed and those were not.
Absolutely.
Sick and healthy.
Yep.
And then secondly, now you're doing the clinical trial to see if you can affect that chronic inflammation in the blood. And third and most important, once you finish that clinical trial and break it open, now you can figure out, do we know how to help our veterans?
Exactly.
And that's got to be the exciting
part. That's the payoff in all of this translational research, is that it translates into better diagnostics and effective treatments.
So, Tammy, on the burn pit syndrome, how is that similar to or different than Gulf War illness, and how do you track that? How do you study that?
Well, we think it's similar. And so what we're doing to track that in the laboratory is to come up with models that reflect exposures encountered by people out in the field. And so we've worked on various models where we stimulate animals with an environmental exposure, what we're calling a surrogate model of exposure. And from there, we look to see, can you repeat or show or demonstrate what has seen in the human condition? And so thus far, we've been able to show that. And so it allows, when we're working on things in the lab, it allows us to directly target some of our suspicions or our tests, our hypotheses, and we can refine those in the lab and then bring those back to those who work more directly in the clinic, like with Ron's studies. And so the tools that we develop both in vitro and in vivo allow us to directly target findings that are seen in the clinic.
So if I'm hearing this right, one of the things you're doing is trying to replicate the conditions
Correct.
That may have caused this, like the burn pits, expose some animals to that and see if they come up with similar problems.
Correct.
Yeah, we look at their biomarkers just like we do in the humans.
Yeah.
So it's all in the blood again.
Yes, exactly. And so with the models that we have in the lab, we can directly target the molecular pathways or genes or proteins and see if we can turn them on or off, and then again see if that would reflect the human condition.
So if you can, then that would say, okay, this may have been the cause.
Exactly.
For the burn pits may have been the cause for the conditions that are the symptoms that are some of our veterans are suffering from.
Exactly. So it's a really powerful tool that works in parallel with the clinical studies that are ongoing at our VA.
And since they're so similar, the smoke from the Gulf War and the burn pit smoke and all of the toxins and things that are in there.
Exactly.
There's probably mostly similar. Is that right,
Ron? The real power in combining the animal studies with the human studies is that what you can do in the animal studies accelerates your discovery. You can do experiments a lot faster in the animals than you can in the humans. Our human trials take 5 or 6 years to complete, whereas you can ask the same questions in the animals in weeks and months, and that accelerates the whole process of discovering diagnostics and developing treatments.
Yeah, exactly. We can screen drugs faster. We can screen targets faster, so we can increase that the turnaround on those discoveries and then take that from literally the bench side to the bedside is what we usually refer to that translational work as.
We're speaking with Drs. Ron Bach and Tammy Butterick from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. So when you're testing this on animals, the follow-up question in my mind is some of our veterans that were there in the first Gulf War seemingly are okay, and some of them are suffering worse. And so with the animals, can you expose them longer and closer and tougher to find out whether or not that has any impact on which veterans may have it and which may not?
Yes, that's an excellent question. And that's something that we're working on now. So we have both duration, exposure, time, concentrations, and those are things that we're working out now with the animals. And so that you've asked an excellent question. And those are some of the questions that we're trying to answer in the lab right now.
Duration and time, that's what I was trying to say.
Yep.
Ron, this is fascinating stuff, particularly when at the end of the tunnel there's a light and you might be able to help our veterans.
I think the important thing in this particular illness, both with the burn pit syndrome and the Gulf War illness, is that the clock is ticking. And chronic inflammatory diseases get worse with time. And if this is indeed what's driving the bus, that our veterans who are exposed will only get sicker until we come in and do an effective treatment. And if we don't, the consequences of that will be all the accelerated diseases of aging. And so in the long term, the consequences are dire. And what we want to do is restore the health and well-being of our veterans.
So the chronic inflammation causes damage over a long period of time. And if we can slow that down or stop it, we can't correct the damage, but we might prevent further damage.
Inflammation is treatable. And if you treat the inflammation and restore a person's normal inflammatory health, then you prevent the diseases of aging.
Or slow them down.
Or slow them down. Yeah. They're in all of us to a degree, but we can slow them down. We can return what we're experiencing now back to what I call normal aging. The accelerated aging that our veterans are experiencing is not normal.
So if we can fix that, that'll be a great thing, a great accomplishment. So we've determined that, number one, there is an illness from exposure because you've proven that. Number two, you've done you're trying to finish your clinical trial where you're studying a couple of options, whether this works or that doesn't work. But you need another 10 or 15 people to sign up and volunteer. You're not going to hurt them.
You bet.
And once they come in, you can finish that thing. And then, as you say, you can crack it open, and what happens at that point?
Then we will publish the results. And it's always a gamble when you do a clinical trial. You have to make some guesses. But we're doing a deep dive into this data, and we will know if our hypothesis, which is if you treat the inflammation, you reduce the symptoms, if that is true.
So you're very close to an answer.
Very close.
Well, we need some veterans to step up and volunteer to finish this clinical trial as soon as possible. They can do that by going to clinicaltrials.gov and looking for Gulf War Illness Inflammation Reduction to sign up. And how long, once you get those, if we send 10 people over there next week, how long is it going to take to finish this up?
They will be in the study for 16 weeks.
16
so
weeks.
So you can do the math.
We can have an answer this year.
We will reach our accrual goal sometime this year. And the sooner the veterans volunteer, the sooner we will reach that point where we can open up the study, break the blind, and do the analysis.
Tammy, pretty exciting. I know why you joined him now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. This is
You're
great.
Right on the edge of maybe helping all our veterans with this Gulf War illness and the burn pit syndrome.
Yes, that's what keeps me going. It's definitely been a great experience, and knowing that I'm serving my country in this way is just incredibly rewarding.
Well, one more time for all our veterans that may have served in that first Gulf War, go to clinicaltrials.gov, G-O-V, and look for Gulf War illness and sign up so that Ron can finish this clinical trial and come back later this year and tell us what he found. I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Ron Bach and Dr. Tammy Butterick from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet with another Yellow Ribbon company. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the 53rd Yellow Ribbon Company here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Over the last few months, I have traveled many miles while visiting the facilities and staff that make the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs the successful organization that it is. During these visits, I have met hundreds of our team members, and I am humbled by the work that they do each and every day. I relay to you that I have been very pleased with the attitude and professionalism that I have witnessed at both the veterans' homes and programs and service staff. I continue to get unsolicited positive feedback in regards to the way our staff engages with veterans throughout Minnesota. I am so proud of the work they do for our nation's heroes. It is an extraordinary honor for me to represent the veterans here in Minnesota. I assure you that we will be 100% dedicated to our mission of serving Minnesota veterans and their families.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Land O'Lakes became the Yellow Ribbon Company on August 1st, 2018, and here to talk about it is Mr. Doug Kirkman and Mr. Nick Najjar from Land O'Lakes. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Doug, I want to start with you. I understand you're the project talent manager, and you co-led the effort to become Yellow Ribbon.
Yes, I did.
How long have you been at Land O'Lakes?
I've been at Land O'Lakes for almost 12 years now.
And a great place to work?
Terrific place to work. I love working there. Makes it easy to show up every day.
Are there a lot of veterans that work there?
There are quite a few veterans that work there.
And one of the things that you do when you become Yellow Ribbon is make a commitment to hire more.
Absolutely. It's definitely on the top of our list when it comes to this entire Yellow Ribbon effort.
And we'll speak about that in a little while, but... Nick Najjar, you are a veteran.
I am.
And how long have you been at Land O'Lakes?
I've been at Land O'Lakes ever since I left the Army in 2010, so coming up on 9 years now.
And how long were you in the Army? And I know you deployed.
I was, yes, and I did. I was in the Army for 5 years as an Army officer. I did my ROTC at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and commissioned in 2005. I was in from 2005 to 2010, and during that time deployed both to Iraq and Afghanistan.
That was kind of your senior trip then, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
mine was to Vietnam, so I understand what you're doing. Yeah. But thanks for serving, and you look like you're in pretty good shape. Must not have hurt you too bad.
No, not too bad. So probably not can't quite run the 2 mile in the same time I could, you know, five, six, 8 years ago. But try to keep up with it.
Well, time makes us pay the price. We're getting a little bit older, aren't we?
That's right.
So your position now with Land O'Lakes?
I currently manage our transportation department, so I've been in logistics supply chain ever since I was hired on in 2010 in a number of different roles, transportation, analytics, warehousing, and I've been managing our transportation group since May of 2017.
So how big is the footprint for Land O'Lakes? How much of the country does it cover?
We canvass really all 48 states, you know, a limited amount of international, but a very, very diverse network. We have three different business units, Dairy Foods, which everybody is familiar with, Purina Animal Feed, everything but the dog and the cat food that you see that iconic checkerboard on is a Land O'Lakes product. And then Winfield United, our crop inputs and ag services division. And they have three different networks, and they're in all 48 states. So a very diverse network, a lot of different things to work on, especially for those of us that are in a supply chain role.
Well, the logistics of managing that will keep you busy for a while.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, Doug, tell me about the process to become a Yellow Ribbon company.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was brought to my attention that, first of all, what a Yellow Ribbon company was. And we really got in contact with Annette, and she was a terrific resource for us to discuss what it took to become a Yellow Ribbon Company. And within that, we were given this outline on different platforms that we needed to achieve goals and align ourselves as a company to make sure that we were becoming the best company we can be to service our veterans and service members and their families within not only Land O'Lakes four walls, but then also within our communities.
And of course, when you say Annette, that's the infamous Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And when you become under her influence, she's got you, doesn't she?
Yep, she is a tremendous leader, and she helps motivate you and get you where you need to be as a Yellow Ribbon Company.
Guys, we've had quite a number of Yellow Ribbon Companies on the show, and one thing that seems to be in common is somebody in the C offices, somebody in the executive ranks, has to usually buy into this to make it work. Did you have a good buy-in over at Land O'Lakes?
Yeah, absolutely. So our executive lead was Brian Geyer, and he was just a great person to help really motivate us as a team and have that executive support from the top down, as well as Philomena Morrissey-Sater, who really helped influence us even to pursue this entire Yellow Ribbon campaign. So having that executive support really drove this entire project from day one and helped us get where we needed to be to achieve this goal.
We're speaking with Doug Kirkman and Nick Najjar from Land O'Lakes on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, gentlemen, one of the things that that you do when you make that commitment is you make a commitment to recruit and hire veterans. How's that going?
Yeah, I'll take that, or I'll at least start. I'll say that it's definitely given us the opportunity to kind of focus and up our game. We started our employee resource group internally. A lot of folks will call them affinity groups. We use the term employee research group, or ERG. We did that in 2015 or so. So for the first 2 years, a foundational principle of this group was we want to attract, retain, and support veteran hires. And we had done a limited amount of work attending career fairs here in the Twin Cities and trying to help our peers in the organization and hiring managers understand and translate veteran qualifications and how they would apply to roles within Land O'Lakes. When we focused our efforts in 2017, 2018 to start looking at how do we make this part of our ongoing process to integrate with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, looked at how can we up our game and how can we get out to more focused career fairs. As you had mentioned earlier, we have a very diverse network. We have a lot of different manufacturing and distribution facilities throughout the country. One of the things that we've done since becoming part of the Yellow Ribbon that's really paid dividends is getting out to career fairs near our manufacturing and distribution facilities. And we've seen tangible gains in terms of folks that we can directly place into manufacturing, distribution, transportation roles in the field immediately separating veterans.
So, Nick, having been in the Army, did they ask you to go out and recruit some of your soldiers that served with?
I've done some as well. I've attended some fairs here in the Twin Cities. I will say we have a couple of folks on our Yellow Ribbon Steering Committee who are also co-participating on our Employee Resource Group board that are also participating and do attend those career fairs and work in our HR recruiting talent management group.
Very good. And Doug, I know that Annette puts on a couple times a year these Yellow Ribbon gatherings, mm-hmm. and what I've heard is a lot of the companies that go in there, you get to meet people from other great companies in the Twin Cities, but you get to exchange some best practices.
Yeah, absolutely. So the one thing that's so great about not only Minnesota companies, but in particular within the Yellow Ribbon network, is that everybody wants everybody to become the best within that network. So we had a lot of opportunity to talk to 3M, Wells Fargo, TCF Bank, a lot of other companies within that network, and really talk about what helped and made an impact within their veterans and service outreach. So having that network out there, it really helped us talk about what can we do to take what we already have and make it that much better and really connect with our audience within the four walls of Land O'Lakes and how we can reach out to our service members in the community.
Yeah, Nick, by going to some of those meetings, you find out this is a small town after all. You meet some friends from all of those other big companies.
Absolutely.
You're all trying to do the same thing.
Absolutely do. We had the opportunity as we were working through our Yellow Ribbon Charter to meet with some folks at U.S. Bank and have lunch and ideate. And attending the kind of biannual meeting at 3M last fall really opened our eyes to field engagement, which was an area that was lacking for us. It was very impressive, you know, the not just the resource group that they've built here in the Twin Cities, but how they've parlayed that into national network support. As you can imagine, they're a giant enterprise organization with a number of different locations. We have many ourselves, and we were able to focus and make that a key point for us this year to try and increase field engagement. And the first step we've taken towards doing that is having a member who's at our largest production facility in Tulare, California, now on the Veterans ERG board or Employee Resource Group board, and is leading that localized effort in California.
So another opportunity to network with other big companies, and it really is a small town after you get to meet some of those folks.
You bet.
Gentlemen, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how Land O'Lakes became a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Doug Kirkman and Nick Najjar from Land O'Lakes. And Land O'Lakes became a Yellow Ribbon company in August 1st of 2018. And they've learned some best practices, and they've been hiring veterans, and they've been doing a lot of things. But, Nick, I know you've got some outreach initiatives that you've been up to. You've been active in the community.
Yes, we have. Upon being, you know, made aware and starting our kind of Yellow Ribbon charter journey last year, we got connected with the suburban Ramsey County Yellow Ribbon community, which is just down the road from us in Arden Hills, or we're in Arden Hills on Lexington and 694, and they're just down the road at the Armory, so barely a mile away or so. And last year, we participated in their Scoops for Troops event in April, a 5K run fundraiser that they do. It's on our calendar again this year. We'll absolutely be supporting that event, and we've had the opportunity to attend a couple of their meetings and just get our company connected with that particular Yellow Ribbon community, which canvasses a pretty wide amount of acreage.
Scoops for Troops, of course, supports our Gold Star families, which is those families that have lost a member in service to our country. So that's a great group too.
Yeah, great cause and a great event. So we have it on our calendar, and we promote that event to our employees via our employee resource group.
So your internal group at Land O'Lakes is called the Military Employee Resource Group?
It's called the VETS Employee Resource Group, Veteran Employment and Troop Support.
So do you have a lot of involvement in that?
I do. I've been involved in it since we started it in 2015. The first 2 years or so, I was involved in, you know, primarily our recruiting and retention effort. We rolled over board leadership every 2 years or so. So in late 2017, we had to get a fresh board of directors for the employee resource group.
More recruiting,
right? And I was asked if I would help lead our Yellow Ribbon certification effort, and that is what landed me on the steering committee, or co-leading the steering committee with Doug.
So, and you guys have told me in the first segment that you get great support from management.
Absolutely.
For this initiative. Yep. Nick, is that Land O'Lakes? Is that a great place to work?
It is, absolutely. And I mean, support for management goes a little bit beyond this focused effort. I mean, if we're talking about support for support and recognition of veterans, our CEO does both, you know, messages on Veterans Day, better messages for remembrance on Memorial Day, and even those little subtle things I think are very important when we talk about recognizing employee veterans and their families, or folks who may have veterans in their families or active service members, goes quite a ways.
Now, Doug, I know you're not in HR, but are there positions open at Land O'Lakes?
There's always something open, so I would definitely recommend checking it out and seeing what's out there available for whatever kind of specialty that you have, because we're always looking for best talent. You're going to hear that a lot in the four walls of Land O'Lakes. So best talent is what we're looking to have, and obviously Yellow Ribbon is part of that.
Well, and veterans show up on time and they put in a good day's work. Pretty easy to put in a good day's work when nobody's shooting
that's
at good, you, right?
That's
Nick?
Right. Well, just ask my boss, though. Make sure he agrees.
Well, I'm sure he would, too. I want to come back to you, Doug. What has your organization gained by becoming Yellow Ribbon? It's not easy. It's a commitment, and you have to pull a lot of people together.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that a lot of people don't know is that Land O'Lakes is a cooperative, and being a cooperative means that you're coming together for the common good. And at Land O'Lakes, our mission is feeding human progress. And by achieving this Beyond the Yellow Ribbon initiative and getting the certification, that's one of the ways that we're actually meeting that mission. So we've actually gained a lot of alignments and realized that we had been doing a lot of these practices already. It's just amazing. Once we put the team together and realize how we can all do what we're doing already and make it even better and reach for the stars, it's really helped us realize what we can do and what the impact we can make once people know what we're doing at our company.
So you got some confirmation that you're on the right track, but also breathed a little new life into it and said, let's take it to the next level.
Exactly. And like we said, once you get executive support, it really helps take you to the next level and puts a little bit of energy behind you. And we have tremendous leadership, even from our CEO, sends out an annual email for Memorial Day weekend just to re-support the sacrifice given for that holiday so that we don't forget about those that came before us. And it really helps identify what we're doing in the mission for our company and what our core values are being a farmer-led organization.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for taking time out of your busy schedules to come visit us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
That was Doug Kirkman and Nick Najjar from Land O'Lakes, which became a Yellow Ribbon company in August of 2018. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Tom.
I see your hat of courage brought you back in today, and I'm betting with the warming up of the weather that you didn't drive your truck.
Oh, no. I don't got my cage out. That's been parked for about a week now.
That'd be called a motor scooter.
Motor scooter, yep.
And probably something bigger than a scooter, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. All right. Well, I want you to be careful out there. And all our listeners, watch out for our Minnesota Patriot Guard riders when they're out there on their motorcycles. They don't all ride them because some of them just stay in their cage or their truck like I do.
Yep.
All right. Tim, want to talk a little bit? I think the missions were down a little in February, which was good for two reasons. We didn't lose too many people, and
That's right.
It was a lot of snow.
Well, that too, but I always look at the positive side. We didn't lose that many veterans. So March picked up a little bit. We've had missions all the way from Thief River Falls all the way down to Edgerton, Minnesota, and it's both ends of the state and in between and in the cities and all over.
You get out to get your fresh air then and see part of the state.
We do.
Now, Tim, who's eligible to become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Anyone. All they need is a 3x5 flag and a heart to honor our military for what they've given us.
And how do they sign up?
They just go to our website, which is mnpatriotguard.org, and over on the left side it says join us. Just click on that and follow the instructions.
And well, you send out periodically notices to all the riders that there are missions.
We do. And
how
they can they can pick and choose whatever they want. We just send out the information and our riders can, when they get a free minute, they can jump into a mission, and we just love to have anybody that can come out there.
So if a family loses a veteran, they have to go on the website and request you to come.
Yes. We do not show up uninvited.
And if they request you, then you send out this mission by email to all your riders.
Yep.
You don't know necessarily how many people are going to show up, but they always do.
They do.
And when they get there, you've told me in the past, there is a ride captain assigned to that particular mission.
Yes.
And the riders just go talk to the ride captain.
Yep.
And what happens then? What does a ride captain do?
Well, a ride captain, a lot of times, will arrange the whole mission. He'll talk with the families and find out what their needs are, what they would like us to do. He arranges it. He usually does a lot of site visits, goes to wherever we're going to be holding the flag line. They check it out. They find out where we want to have our people standing and what they're doing, and when our riders get there or anybody that shows up there, the ride captain will take a roll call and brief everybody, let all of them know what he knows, and he's kind of the director of the show at the mission.
So the ride captain will work carefully with the family to position the riders so that you're not causing a problem.
Yep.
You're there to honor the veteran that died.
Yeah, we don't want to be in the way. We don't want to be a nuisance. We just want to be there to honor our fallen heroes.
And it's all about those three words.
Honor, dignity, and respect.
Very good, sir. And you're always looking for more riders, and you're looking for somebody to volunteer leadership, volunteer to be ride captain.
Yes. Yes.
So all they have to do is go to that website and raise their hand, and you'll pick them up.
Yes, we will.
All right. Now, I know in the summertime you have a big fundraiser, and it's called Patriot Ride.
Yes.
It's coming up in June.
Yes, it is.
Going to be at the Anoka County Airport.
Yes, it will.
Big family day.
Yes.
And where do you find out more information on that?
If you go to patriotride.com, it will you'll have a whole lot of information. There's a lot of information there. You look at it; it's a fun day for everyone.
Now, Tim, you've been a Patriot Guard rider for a long time.
I have.
gone to many, many missions.
Yes.
It's an emotional event, isn't it?
It is. There's a reason that we wear sunglasses, and it isn't always because it's sunny. There's a lot of emotions that you feel. You know, you see little children, you see families that have been affected by the loss of someone that's been there to protect our own freedoms. You know, it's heartfelt. You know,
Well, and I've told you this story before. The grandfather on the other side of my family was a good Vietnam Army vet, and the Patriot Guard came out. And afterwards, my son went out to thank every one of the writers. And that was very difficult to watch because he was overwhelmed with emotion.
Yes.
But did a nice job. I was proud of him and all the writers that were there. And you guys, what you do sounds simple, but when you see it, it's impressive. And it's, as you say, honor, dignity,
and respect. It's an honor for us to do that.
Tim, I want to thank you for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have two mentions today. First, the 12th Annual Vietnam Veterans Day program will be held on Sunday, March 31st at the American Legion Post 222 in Forest Lake at 2 p.m. The topic this year is, what was the importance and risks of an infantry point man during the Vietnam War? A $500 scholarship will be given out for the winning essay. This event is open to the public and is free. 12th Annual Vietnam Veterans Day Program, American Legion Post 225, Forest Lake at 2 p.m. And second, come out to the Poorhouse in Minneapolis on Thursday, April 18th to support the Minnesota Military Family Foundation at the Heroes of Rock series featuring Alex Leiterwood, former lead singer of Santana. Proceeds, auction, and raffle to support the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Tickets available at Eventbrite or email jason@mcburley.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Ron Bach and Dr. Tammy Butternick from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Doug Kirkman and Nick Najjar from Land O'Lakes, Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Army Corps of Engineers and see what Tee It Up for the Troops is up to this year. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.